I don't have a jingle for you today. I have a question. Does anyone else's pet turn into a horse at night? A literal horse galloping through their house? Now, unless you have a horse, let me know what the answer to this is because we have a cat. We recently fostered a cat. For those of you who follow me on Instagram, you will already know this. We recently fostered a cat. Her name is Princess Bella. That was her registered name. We kept the title. She is a maniac at night. She will gallop, literally gallop through our house, causing chaos, waking my children up. And also, she started this thing where she will make a game out of attacking me. And when I say attack, that's a strong word. There's no aggression behind it. I've never actually been injured. But it's just the element of fright that comes with having a cat, a fully grown adult cat, diving out at you from behind a pot plant or a child's playmat or, a spare bed. That really, it just terrifies me. I am living in fear in my own house. Anyway, welcome to this week's episode of the Productivity Project. I hope you have enjoyed hearing about my horse cat, and I am genuinely keen to hear any other terrifying pet stories that you might have to bring to the table. So if you'd like to share these with me, please head over to my Instagram at cathunter.va and DM me your latest horse pet stories. Unless, of course, you have a horse. If you do have a horse that's inside galloping, I'd also love to hear about that. Meanwhile, I wanted to start today's episode by asking you guys if you could do something for me. If you are enjoying the podcast, if you've been listening for a little while, or even if you've just tuned in, if you've only listened to the last couple of episodes and you think, yeah, this girl is right up my street. Don't even know what that accent was. But if you're enjoying the podcast, my homemade jingles, my chats about horse pets, anything really, if you're getting actual value out of the content and the topic that I actually talk about each week, if I could ask you a really big favor to please leave me a review. I would love it if you would leave me a review if you're enjoying the podcast. You don't have to write one if you don't have the time. You can just rate the podcast, preferably 5 stars. You can just give it a star rating if you are enjoying it. It really does help in terms of the reach of the podcast and getting the content of the podcast out to more service providers who could really use some help when it comes to leveraging their productivity and taking back their time. So, speaking of taking back your time, I have started pulling the curriculum framework together for my program for booked out service providers who love supporting clients, but who have had their own business dreams or their own projects on simmer in the background for as long as they can remember. So this program, it's called the Bandwidth Blueprint. I can't even say the name of my program, guys. But anyway, it is called the Bandwidth Blueprint and it's my complete blueprint for booked out service providers. So if you're a VA, a social media manager, an OBM, a copywriter, any type of freelancer, if you're a tech ninja, a VA, PA, EA, all of the A's, it's a complete blueprint to help you leverage your available time to finally get your own business projects happening in real life without just trying to throw more time that you don't have at the problem. So this is not a program that will tell you to get up at 4 a.m. just to fit in your project. And it leaves you with the time capacity to actually live and enjoy the goals you have for your business and your life. So if you're not quite sure what all that means, basically as I say these things, if you are thinking, yes, this is me, this program is for you. So if you tick any of these boxes, if you are a solo roller maxed to the eyeballs with hours, so if you're a booked out service provider who feels like you don't have capacity to take on anything else, so you have no idea how the hell you are going to make this project, digital course, podcast, blog, anything that you've been working on in the background for your own business come to life. If you're feeling like you are spending all of your time working, and it might be that you only have limited hours to work, you might be juggling a family, kids, you might have a full-time job, Most of us only really have limited time to work, but somehow we end up feeling like we are spending all of our available spare time having to work when we have our own business. If we are booked out, we feel like we can't ever let a minute go past without using it for something. If you are sick of watching every other business owner apparently run their entire operation from the pool, if you are tired of that rhetoric, and if you just constantly find yourself wondering how on earth you are ever going to find the time to make your own business goals come to life, the Bandwidth Blueprint is for you. So this program is going to be a fun, really transformative, but really easy to digest mini course. It'll be complete with ready to install templates to help you actually integrate what you learn, rather than just having to sit down and wade through curriculum heavy hour long videos and complete lesson exercises and, you know, basically leave the entire program gathering dust at the back of your digital drive for a year, which is what has happened to me in the past when I have invested in programs that have been really curriculum heavy. While the programs have been really valuable, when we are time poor, when you are booked out, when you are already up to your eyeballs in it, sometimes you just don't have the time to do the learning that you need to do to create more time. So I am aiming to make this program as easy to digest and integrate as possible. And in a surprisingly meta twist, I am actually going to be documenting the process behind me bringing this program to life in real time for you guys. So I'm going to be sharing quite a bit about this on Instagram. I'm going to be sharing this in my newsletter Worklist, which comes out each week-ish. So if you want to follow along with how I am actually integrating the fundamentals of this program to help me bring my own program to life in the background, as a booked out service provider with two small children, you know, all the other things that come with life, head on over to my Instagram at cathunter.va, follow me, send me a DM if you'd like me to add you to my Worklist newsletter. And there's a fairly sizable part of me wondering whether I will really be able to find the time to do this, whether I will know enough to help people and to deliver real value, and how I am going to bring this to life with all of the things I've just mentioned. So with my full client portfolio, my two kids under four, a podcast, and a cat that attacks me. But this is how much I know the stuff that I am sharing inside this program honestly has the power to change the way you guys see your time and your capacity. So I want to share bringing it to life with you to kind of illustrate that I'm really kind of betting on my own curriculum. So I'm betting on the stuff that I'm teaching you by documenting. You know, you can see this, the fundamentals of this program come to life in real time. So I wanted to share that with you guys, and I will be sharing more details about the program as I get closer to delivering it. And if you would like to be added to my program waitlist, send me a DM on Instagram at cathunter.va and I'll add you to the waitlist. I already have a couple of people waitlisted, which I'm so excited about. So anyway, today's topic, let's dive in. It's a big one. I'm diving into the art of prioritizing rest and still getting our shit done. So you've heard me talk about rest before. If you've listened to the podcast before, you will know that I call bullshit on what we have been conditioned to believe as a society for years and years and years, which is the idea that rest comes only after work as some sort of reward. So we are constantly on the go. We are juggling work, we're juggling family, we're juggling life, relationships, trying to stay fit, possibly illness, everything, all of the things and everything in between. And when we finally do get a chance to rest, because we are so conditioned to feel like we need to deserve rest, our brains are like, hang on, shouldn't you be doing something with this time? You've got all these things to do. You've got this massive to-do list. Why are you going to bed early? If you stay up an hour later, you could get XYZ done. So not only are we battling this relentless productivity conditioning of feeling like we should be doing something with every second of our time, now beyond that, with the explosion of, you know, content marketing and the content landscape, we're now entering this era of added pressure, feeling like there's something missing if we are not monetizing every single minute of our time in some way. Tell me I'm wrong, people. Tell me I'm wrong. And while you may not be that far down the content rabbit hole, you might not be, you know, you might not be an influencer, you might not consider yourself, you know, a social media marketer. Most of us have some sort of presence on social media, and social media, I feel the content in the business landscape of late is really focused on, especially if you are a business owner and you or you're in the business kind of space on Instagram, it is really focused on how you can monetize kind of every aspect of your life, perhaps not even to that extent. If you have a passion or something that you are good at or a skill, there is a heavy emphasis on figuring out a way to monetize these. And it's also known as doing what lights you up or, you know, pursuing your passion. And look, while there is essentially nothing wrong with this, there is nothing wrong with this if this is what you are truly wanting to do. For most of us who want to be able to build and run a business, even if it is monetizing our passion, even if it is content marketing, even if that is our business and that's our goal, for most of us who want to be able to run a business and, you know, have a nice family life and maintain financial stability and actually do it without turning into this burnt relic of our former selves, we need to be able to integrate rest into the equation somehow. But with many of us, particularly service providers who are trying to service a full client portfolio and grow our own businesses or perhaps launch a side project while we're juggling the equivalent of a full-time job, you know, raise our children and maintain some sort of relationship with the people around us, integrating the rest we need feels like something we have to postpone, because as business owners, we're often dealing in such limited pockets of time. So integrating anything beyond our business and maintaining some sort of semblance of a home life can feel next to impossible, because a lot of us, especially if we are parents, we are balancing working within the constraints of either school hours or childcare hours or the times that, you know, our kids are napping or whatever it might be, and the time that we have to actually, you know, bring our businesses to life, let alone just service the clients that we have that keep our businesses ticking along, is really, really, it feels really limited in comparison to the rest of our day and the rest of what we've got going on. So what we can end up doing is working in these sort of periods of sprinting for the sky and then falling in a heap. So we might, you know, work during school hours, head down, like no talking, kind of like just kind of go into our office or wherever we are positioned to work and kind of just go for it until we know that the kids have to be picked up or come home. And then it might be a period of time where we're with the kids and, you know, we're doing all of the dinner, bed, bath and whatever we're doing. And then it might be the kids go to bed and we then pick up our pens or pick up our pens, how old are you, cat? Or open our laptop again and sit down and do another period of work. And we might push ourselves to stay up a little later so that we can get some more work done. And it might repeat throughout the week, and then possibly there might even be a period of work squeezed in on a weekend. And some of us are going to be better at integrating boundaries around that. And all of this is relative, right, to what kind of life you want to live and what you want to do with your time. So there is nothing, when I'm talking through these scenarios, there is nothing wrong with the scenario as it stands if that is what you want to do. So if that is how you want to work, that is fine. But if you are not feeling if since you've started your business, you're not happy with how your time feels to you, if you feel stressed and rushed and feel like you're operating on, you know, not enough time to get everything done, if you're constantly behind, if you feel like you are blocking out periods of time to work on something and they're just going down the drain. What if instead of working in these periods of sprinting and then falling in a heap, otherwise known as work first, rest later, which is how most of us have lived our lives up until now, what if instead rest becomes a tool to be leveraged to prime and recuperate us so that when we do sit down to work, we are able to more easily access our most effectively productive, creative state? And what if what we could achieve in this state was more easily and readily available to us? So this is what integrating more rest can offer us. So firstly, let's talk about what rest actually means, because often when we think about rest, we think sleep. And I really want to distinguish rest from sleep, because sleep is an entirely different ballgame. And yes, it is important to get the sleep that our bodies need, but there are lots of reasons at any given season in our lives that we might not be able to get the sleep we need. The number one reason in my life that I don't get the sleep I need is because I have small children. The secondary reason is because I have a cat who gets up at 4:30 to take a dump in the litter box, which is in my ensuite. I have no idea why I put it in there. Come back to me and ask me, would I go back in time and shift the space that my cat's litter is stored? Yes, I would. Anyway, I digress. There are lots of reasons we can't get the sleep we need at any given time. We might be battling with periods of anxiety. We might be dealing with stressful situations in our work, which means we're kind of overthinking when our head hits the pillow. We might find it hard to switch off. We might have a number of things going on in our life, which means that we're not able to get the sleep we need. So sleep is a separate issue. If we can't get the sleep we need, even if I'm not talking about those nights where you just kind of like revenge procrastinate and stay up till 2 a.m. for absolutely no reason other than that you just want to binge Netflix and then you struggle to get the sleep you need. While I love a good revenge procrastinate sesh with Netflix, it's not ideal to do that every single night after night, because then you definitely won't get the sleep you need. I'm talking about things beyond your control that affect the sleep that you get. Because I think often when we stress about sleep, it can make the situation worse. And if, you know, you have a small child or you have a newborn, or even if you have an older child and, you know, people in the house are struggling to sleep or whatever it might be, being put in a situation or, you know, listening to someone else talk about sleep or listening to a podcast on sleep can really make you stress out a lot more about the situation. And there's really, I think we all just need to cut ourselves some slack when we talk about sleep, because there are a lot of reasons in our society why we can't get the sleep we need. So that aside, rest, when it comes to productivity, I'm not talking about sleep, I'm talking about rest. And rest is not necessarily laying horizontally and staring into the abyss, because because honestly, most of us don't really want to do that most of the time. Like when we talk about rest, I struggle to rest when it comes to the idea of like going down and laying down on the bed and resting. Because often I feel like if I've been sitting at a desk all day, I am restless. My body needs to do something. I still want to do something else that rather than versus going upstairs and laying down on a bed when the sun is shining brightly outside, you know. So rest when it comes to productivity is any activity that puts your brain in a state of rest. I'm talking about resting our brain. So it doesn't necessarily mean resting your body, although it can be that. If that is something that you need more of and you are craving rest for your body, for sure, go and have a lie down. So it can be literal. Or It can be getting up from your desk and going for a walk and expending some of that mental fog via physical energy. Often when we feel foggy mentally, it's because we have a lot of physical energy that we are not releasing during the day. So we can get to the end of the day after we've been sitting in a chair all day and still feel tired and head straight for the sofa. But what we're kind of doing when we do that is we are just retaining a lot of that pent up physical energy that our body needs to expend. And that can actually be why we feel so tired. And it's not necessarily that we are physically tired, we are mentally tired. And often a way to get rid of some of that mental tiredness is to expend some physical energy. So that's often why you feel better after you go for a walk, even if you are a little bit tired. Or after you jump in the ocean and have a swim, or whatever you do to get some physical energy out. That's often why we feel better when we do that after a day at our desk. So defining rest, it doesn't have to be laying down. It doesn't have to be sleep. It can be any activity that gives your brain a break and puts your brain in a state of rest. So why should you integrate rest? And when we talk about this question, we're going to get a better idea of what kinds of activities give your brain the rest it needs. So let's talk about why you should integrate rest. What can rest actually do for you when it comes to leveraging productivity to help you get the things you need to do done in the least amount of time possible? So when we're talking about why we should integrate rest, I'd like to invite you to think about how often your brain is occupied with consuming something. So my brain, from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, it's pretty relentless. It is pretty relentless how much and how often my brain is consuming something. And with most of the clients I work with, it is really, it's very, very similar, because we, from the moment we wake up, we are constantly bombarded with information. Even I have a rule that I don't check my phone before about 7:30 or 8 o'clock. I'm not strict on the time. I'm more strict with the activity that I do before I check my phone. So basically checking my phone is not the first thing I do when I wake up. I definitely don't pick it up in bed. I get up, I have a shower, I get ready. Obviously I'm with the girls, and then I go down, I make them breakfast. I might make myself like a hot drink or something, have my own breakfast, chat to the girls, and then I might check my phone. And that's been working fairly well for me. But lately I have started listening to either a podcast or an audiobook if I'm up before the girls, which is kind of rare these days. Although since it's been darker in the morning, I have managed to get up before them, which has been like a nice little just like moment of zen at the start of my day. But I've been listening to a podcast and this morning I decided to listen to the news. I listened to BBC News, and I'm not loving starting my day with information, especially, I think it was the news that did it this morning, because there is so much going on in the world. And while it is really important that I think it's really important that we maintain an awareness of what is going on around us, starting my day with that, it just kind of set me up in this kind of overstimulated state where I was, you know, worrying and feeling anxious and thinking about all the things I'd just listened to. And while I am so lucky to be in a situation where I am privileged enough to have those things as only something that I listen to and something that feels really far away and not something that is actually going on in my life, I am aware of how blatantly lucky I am to be in that situation. Relatively, I found that starting my day with listening to the news, or, you know, it might be like a more serious podcast or something that I've heard, is really quite stimulating for my brain, and it doesn't set me up in the best way to start my day. And a lot of us have breaks. When we take breaks, a lot of us pick up our phone to scroll. I am guilty of this as well. And when I say guilty, I mean it's something that I have decided not to do and to do less of. So, but you know, if that is something that you like to do, again, there is nothing essentially wrong with doing this. But what happens when we take a break from work or whatever we're doing and we pick up our phone? We immediately go from consuming or expending mental energy on one thing to consuming and expending mental energy on another thing. And we are feeding our brains more information to digest and consume and process. And while we might not realize it, that is subtly using a portion of our mental energy that we have allocated for our day. And, you know, it might be like silly videos on TikTok, or it might be like something about a cat, or nothing even serious. It might just be something that makes you laugh, and that's fine. But just, I would love to invite you to be aware of how you and your brain feel after you've done this. So if you have a break and you're on your phone for the duration of the break, how do you feel afterwards? When you go back to work, do you feel refreshed? Does your brain feel ready to go again? Do you feel, you know, a sense of clarity, or do you feel a little bit more muddled and hazy and a bit scattered and a bit anxious? Just check in with how you feel after you take a break and you do scroll, or you pick up your phone, or even if you read something, or you know, you might, I don't know, listen to something. How do you feel after that? I also want to invite you to think about the idea of rest when it does come to the time you go to bed. So, again, I'm not focused on sleep here. If you go to bed and you know, it takes you a while to fall asleep, or you know, you're just not getting the sleep you need, that's a separate issue. I'm talking about when you are deliberately staying up. It's called revenge bedtime procrastination. I have definitely done this. I still do this, even though it's something that I'm trying to do less of. When you get to the end of the day and you feel like you have had so little time to yourself, and this might happen if you're a parent and you work and you have a million different things going on in your life. It might even just happen even if you don't have kids. You can feel like this if you've had a really heavy day with work or other relationships or other things you have going on in your life, and you just want some time to yourself. And you get to, say, 8 p.m. and you crash on the couch and you're like, all I want to do is zone out and watch Netflix for the next 3 hours. I don't want anyone to speak to me. I don't want anyone to talk to me. I just want to watch Netflix and my show and just leave me alone. And you might get to, say, 10 p.m. and think, I should probably go to bed, but I also just want to watch one more episode. And then it gets to 11 p.m. and you might consider going to bed again, and it might just kind of be this little bit, push it out, and then before you know it, it's 2 a.m. and that resolution you had in the morning of having an early night because you woke up so tired has gone out the window, and again, you're finding yourself waking up the next morning exhausted because you haven't gotten the sleep that you wanted to try and get. So again, there is nothing wrong with doing this if this is something that you want to do or something that suits you. But I want to invite you to think about whether doing this does serve what you need. So it might serve like your, what's that brain called? Your Labrador brain. What's that brain called? Come here for your science and facts, guys. So your Labrador brain is, I can't remember who speaks about this concept. I have a feeling it's James Clear in Atomic Habits. Correct me if I'm wrong. Your Labrador brain is the part of your brain that just wants the instant gratification. It is just occupied with how you feel right now, and it doesn't really think about what you need. It thinks about what you want. So if your Labrador brain is telling you, but I want to stay up and watch Netflix, I deserve this, I have worked hard today, this is what I want to do, that is okay. But when you think about what you need to set yourself up for the next day, what you need to, you know, be at your most productive in the time that you have allocated to work, rather than feeling tired and foggy and sleepy and scattered and not really getting very much done and having things push out to the following day or the following week or whatever it is. This is what you need to be thinking about when you are thinking about what staying up late actually means to you. So if you are searching for that little bit of time to yourself or that little bit of reward, I guess, for the day that you have had, think about other ways that you can give this to yourself in a way that serves what you actually need versus what you instinctively feel like you want. And that's quite a complex question, and it probably involves a little bit of reflection. But I just want to invite you to start thinking about these things, because a lot of setting ourselves up for our most productive state, which is, you know, getting what we need to get done in the time we have allocated to do it in, starts with really tuning in to what we need to put ourselves in that state. And the third thing I want to invite you to think about is, on the flip side, how do you feel after you've had a decent night's sleep, or, you know, had a break from social media, been for a walk, started your day with a yoga session, or whatever it might be? How do you feel? If the answer is you feel quite good, and you know, if you've had a decent night's sleep, you are more focused, and, you know, if you've had a social media break, you're feeling less scattered and less distracted, that is great. You might be feeling like, yeah, that's great, Kat, but I don't have time to do yoga in the morning, or I don't have time to go for a long walk, or, you know, I'm a social media manager, how do I have a social media break? If you don't have time for these things, or you feel like you have roadblocks coming up, start really small with what you integrate. So you can start by even just integrating a 5-minute walk around the block when you get back from dropping your kids to school. Or if you're a social media manager, you can integrate a really short, say 10-minute boundary where you don't check social media for a period of the day. It can be as short as 10 minutes, or it can be as long as, say, half an hour or an hour. Start really small with allocating yourselves these little pockets of filling your cup or fulfilling what you need. And then as you get better at integrating those, you can go bigger. If you want to, you can get broader with recuperating and nurturing and filling that cup. So the next thing I want to talk about is something that I get asked a lot when I do productivity sessions with one-on-one clients. I get asked, how do you know when you should rest and when you are just being lazy or procrastinating? For example, I record my podcast episodes on a Monday evening. So normally I start recording the episode about 9 p.m., which for me, it's a little bit out of my comfort zone. I don't love doing it at this time. I would prefer to do it at another time. But at the moment, that is the time that works for me to record my podcast episode uninterrupted. It means that I get to spend the time that I want to spend with my girls when they get home. It means that I'm not trying to rush and fit it in into a work day when the girls are in childcare and I am working on client stuff. And it's just what pocket of time works for me at the moment. So, however, because it is 9 p.m., often I will go and I will sit with my husband and we'll have a chat after the girls have gone to bed and we spend some time together. We sit on the couch to talk. I could happily stay on that couch all night. I could skip recording this episode and I could just Netflix the night away. Or, you know, I could even just read my book or, you know, do something else, go upstairs, go to bed, whatever it is. But instead, I come into my girls. I'm literally sitting in my girls' playroom right now, surrounded by toys, and I'm recording this podcast episode. And you might be thinking, but Kat, doesn't this go against everything you've just said about resting and, you know, getting the rest that you need and prepping yourself and blah, blah, blah? Yes, there are plenty of evenings where what I need is to either go to bed at 9 p.m. or sit down and watch something on Netflix or read my book. There are plenty of evenings where I need and do that. But Monday evening is my evening that I have allocated specifically to record my podcast episode. I plan for it. I know that Monday evening is my podcast episode night. So I make sure I get adequate breaks through the day. I go for a walk during that day. I do a really short yoga session before I go and pick the girls up. It's 15 minutes. I just do it at home in my lounge room with my neighbors watching. I make sure we have dinner kind of early, and I make sure that we've all spent some time together as a family. The girls are in bed. And most importantly, I have prepared what I need to prepare to record this podcast and get it done. So one of my goals for this year is to record a podcast episode every single week, unless the podcast is on a break, and I will have breaks throughout the year. And to do that, I set up a really simple routine for myself, which means that I know when I'm recording the episode each week. I prepare for that recording. So for me, it's like a simple script with an outline of what I'm going to say, and I have that ready so that come 9 p.m. on a Monday evening, I'm ready to record. I sit down in my playroom, I have my microphone, my laptop, I'm ready to go. I get it recorded and I get it done. I hit post and it is done. I am not sitting here after dinner for, 4 hours at a time, kind of procrastinating on what I'm going to say and, drafting and scripting and going back and forth and going around in circles and editing and re-editing. The podcast episodes that I release are never perfect, and I never want them to be perfect because I really want to prioritize getting the things done that you want to do to a level that you are happy with. So my podcast episodes, I always want to make sure, my goal is to make sure they're full of value without being perfect, because they don't have to be perfect to add value. And I think this is really important when we are considering, how do we still balance getting the rest that we need and getting the things done that we want to do? It's making sure that we are prepared and we know what those non-negotiable things are that we do want to do, and that we have benchmarks in place for ourselves with, if it's something like you want to record a podcast every week, or if it's something like you want to write a newsletter or work on your book that you're writing, or, whatever it is, if you have a non-negotiable time set with yourself, that you do stick to that time. So, and often this is where our brain gets really tricky with us, and it tells us like, hey, you don't really need to do that tonight. You could do it tomorrow if you wanted to. It doesn't matter if you're late with your podcast episode. Just relax. You deserve it. Lie on the couch. And yes, all of those things are true, right? But again, it's going beyond your Labrador brain, asking yourself, being really in tune with what you actually need, because sometimes what you actually need will be to say, hey, the podcast episode is going to be late this week, and that's cool because I am exhausted. I had 4 hours sleep last night. I've had a huge week at work, or I had a really big weekend or something. Whatever the reason is, it doesn't need to be justifiable to anybody else but you. Sometimes you will need to skip that podcast episode recording and go to bed or watch something on TV or whatever it is that you want to do. Sometimes that will be what you need. But sometimes what you need is to get up off the couch, go into your playroom and record your podcast episode because you set a goal for yourself that that is something that you wanted to do this year. So again, it's just about really tuning in to the difference between that Labrador brain, which is, thinking about what you want and how to get that really immediately, and your, I'm just going to call it your other brain because I don't have a fancy term for it right now. Your brain that is in charge of making sure you are nurturing yourself and giving yourself what you actually need. So I hope that helped in terms of how you can determine, when you should rest and when you're just, trying to get out of doing what you said you were going to do or procrastinating, because your brain will definitely default to procrastination. This is something that is across the board, happens to all of us. And the best way to kind of start to move past that is to really just do a check-in with yourself. Start asking yourself questions, get curious with yourself and what you want out of your day or out of your week or whatever the period is. And if you are procrastinating about a particular task that you don't want to do, and you're really struggling with it, but you do want to do something toward it, but you're just struggling to get started, ask yourself, what is something really small, a small action that you could take to move this forward today? So for me, for example, if it was my podcast episode that I was really struggling to get to, a small action that I could take that is not necessarily sitting down and recording the entire episode would be to script the bullet points, or, you know, write the promo text or whatever it is, something small that is a step toward getting that task done that you want to do. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode on rest. I hope it has really encouraged you to think about how you can get more rest in the context of how we've talked about rest today. If you did enjoy this episode, again, I'd love it if you could leave me a review. So if you did like this episode or you've liked previous episodes, please rate the podcast on whatever platform you listen on. I will love reading your reviews if you do take the time to write one, or if you don't have time, just give it a star rating. And I'll be back next week with another episode, guys. Until then, you can check me out on Instagram at cathunter.va and follow along as I bring my bandwidth blueprint program to life for you guys. Oh, I don't know what my voice just did then. Anyway, maybe next week I'll have a jingle for you. Tune in and see what happens. Bye for now, guys.